Praise God. Well, some time ago, I started talking about the secret to dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. I talked about it 1 week and then a second week, and then we went through Dr. Dufresne, and I don't know, we've been through a lot of stuff here together, but now we're back. Last week we kind of went in a different direction, but tonight I'm going to finish this up, the secret to dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. And really this came from a quote I read from John Wesley, where he said he was being questioned by a young minister. A young minister was asking him, you know, the young minister knew that John Wesley, he's the founder of the Methodist Church, if you don't know who I'm talking about. But anyway, John Wesley, he knew that he'd faced persecution, that he had faced temptation, he'd faced even failure in his life, that he'd had great difficulty in his life. And this young minister's, you know, wanting to get some wisdom, like any smart young minister would. He's wanting to glean something from him. And he said, you know, Brother Wesley, what is it that you would say has been the greatest difficulty that you faced? And I guess he was thinking he would, you know, name some big thing. And then he'd ask him, well, how did you get past it? But without, you know, even a second thought about it, John Wesley looked at him and said, young man, the greatest difficulty that I've faced in my life has been me. You know, and I read that, I thought, sure enough, I understand what he meant by that. And in fact, I was just doing some reading yesterday, and I was reading another minister, and I'm not going to go into all what he said, but he was talking about, another minister was talking about that the person in his church that he despises the most. It was a couple of pages of all these things about this guy in his church, and it was making me want to get up and go find this guy and just beat him to a pulp, you know. And then I turned the page and I find out who the guy was, and it was himself, the pastor of the church. And, you know, because the guy had caused so much trouble in the church, he'd caused so much division, he'd really goofed up, done so many wrong things, and it turned out it was the pastor himself that it was the big goofball in the church. And the one that had caused that pastor the most trouble was himself. And I think if we all are honest tonight, we'll recognize that really the person who's caused you the most trouble is you. And so we're talking about dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. That's you. And I don't have all the answers, but one thing that I've seen in the Word that we can do about ourselves and do with ourselves is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And a verse there where Paul was writing. And, you know, Paul, he faced great difficulties too. And all, you think of the persecution Paul had, you think of the trouble he had with the Pharisees to the point that one day he was stoned, some people think to death, and was raised up again. He had trouble at one point in his ministry. He had a demon-possessed girl that followed him around and harassed him night and day. You know, just everywhere he went, there was a demon-possessed girl followed him around, just harassing their ministry, you know, heckling them and whatever they were doing, following them around, till one day he cast the devil out of her. But I mean, he faced great adversity. But if you read the writings of Paul, you can tell that really the person he had to deal with that really caused him trouble was himself. His pride, his own self-reliance, his thinking that he was great because of his own works, and not, you know, he had to lower himself, his opinion of himself in his own eyes. You know, he had to lower that before he could really receive from God, had to humble himself. So anyway, Paul, he knew some things about dealing with himself. And over in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4, just the first part of that verse, Paul was writing, and he said this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, we've talked about the word edify a lot in our church and what it means. And in its simplest terms, best way to describe it means, you know, to like charge up, like you'd plug in your cell phone, plug it in and charge it up, or when your car battery runs down and you get a jump off from somebody to charge up. Well, that's what it means. But just in some things I read, I found that there's some other meanings, really, looking back at the Webster's old dictionary has a lot of different meanings for the word edify. And one of them is, and we've covered some of these, the first one is build. that he that speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself. And we talked about building your life and speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you're building your life. Remember this. We talked about how, you know, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. So there's a lot of things we do to build our lives. But the reality is, as we pray in the Spirit, pray in the languages of the Spirit, that we receive that ability to do that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But as we exercise that ability, that we build our lives. And we can spend a lot of effort building our lives for ourselves, but without him working in us to build it, it's really not built soundly. And another meaning, second meaning, was the word kindle. He that speaks in an unknown tongue kindles himself. Y'all remember this? And kindles, to ignite, like you're going to kindle a fire, you're going to ignite a fire. And how when we speak in tongues, we're igniting a fire within us. And we went over and read how Paul had told Timothy to stir up. And in the Amplified Bible, it says to rekindle that gift that's in you, to stir up that gift that's in you. One way you can stir up the gifts that God's put in you, whatever gifts they are. And we all have gifts within us. You can stir those up or kindle them or heat yourself up, so to speak, spiritually by praying in tongues. If people are cold, you know, if you ever reach a point where you're cold spiritually, and you know, everybody faces the temptation to grow cold. One way you keep yourself hot for God is by praying in the Spirit. Just praying in the Spirit. If you're kind of going through a dry spell, you can rekindle yourself by praying in the Spirit. So that's another meaning. Then we spent a whole night, I think, talking about the third meaning of that word edify, which means to organize. He who speaks in an unknown tongue organizes himself. And that was, to me, one of the most interesting applications or ways of interpreting this word edifies, because there's so many parts and areas and things about our lives that need organization. And speaking in tongues, really, probably the best way to express it is anything that's organized has order to it. And when you speak in other tongues, pray in the Spirit and spend time doing that, you're bringing yourself and bringing your spiritual life and really all of your life into divine order and into the flow of God's Spirit. So He has a order for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. And as you pray in the Holy Spirit, it helps order your life, order your priorities, order, you know, your values, or brings order in your life. Helps you sift through and what Paul prayed, and I think it's over in Philippians, that we would be able to sense what is vital, what is absolutely necessary in life. That's bringing our priorities in order. And it also has to do with, as you pray in the Spirit, you flow, as you pray in the Spirit and that order comes, you actually can align yourself with order, not just in your own life, but the order that God has for whoever, whatever group or church or ministry or service that you're involved in. You know, as you, for instance, we had Dr. Ed Dufresne here two Wednesday nights ago, and we had a service there. I think it was Wednesday night. Yeah, it was service that was really a Spirit-orchestrated service. Well, as you pray in the Spirit, maybe beforehand as you prayed in the Spirit, or at times just in your own devotional times as you were praying in the Spirit, part of that prepares you to follow the order of the Holy Spirit when you come into a service like that, where you are like actually in the know and in the flow. You're bringing yourself into order with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because that, if those of you who were here that night, that wasn't something that Dr. Dufresne was doing. That was something the Holy Spirit was doing. And there were lots of things. And at moments, it might have seemed that it was pure chaos. And some people, I think, it scared them. But as you really pray in the Spirit, it enables you to be sensitive to the flow of the Holy Spirit, even at times where it might seem like chaos. It's not chaos, you know, if you know what's going on. If you were standing in the middle of the orchestra while they were playing a symphony, it might seem like chaos to you from that point of view, too. Somebody's beating a drum over here. It has nothing to do with this guy that's, you know, and the person that's, you're wondering, what are they all doing? But if you could get an outside view and see it all is flowing together. And that's the disadvantage we have in a service like that, is we're not on the outside spiritually looking in, so we don't see how it's all flowing together. Afterwards, we often hear things about things that were happening and going on in people, because lots of things in a service like that happen to a person sitting in their seat. It happens back in the back, and it happens all over the room, all over the house, so to speak, not just front and center. And so, but it might seem a little bit chaotic because something's going on over here and something's going on over there. But if you could step out of it and see it from God's point of view, you'd see it's perfectly orchestrated. And that's awesome whenever you get insight into His orchestration of things. But part of praying in the Spirit will really tune you into that and organize you and help you be part of God's organization. Now, we're at number 4. I think I have 7. And so we're going to cover the other 3 here tonight real quick. Number 4, meanings of this word. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That word edify. He who speaks in an unknown tongue establishes himself. This number 4 meaning of the word edify is the word establish. He who speaks in an unknown tongue establishes himself. Now, what does it mean to establish something? It means to make it firm, to make it stable, and to make it fixed. So when you establish something, you make it firm. You make it stable, and you fix it in place. You know, if we were going to fix something to the wall here, you know, we've discovered, you know, in the last several months, to fix something to a wall here in Good News Church, you can't tape it. The taping might seem like it's fixed, but that only lasts for a moment. There has to be something a little more involved than taping. And like Lamar found out after the fact, puttying really fixes something to the wall. They puttied something to the wall, and Lamar had to come down one afternoon after that was over and scrape all the putty from the wall. It was fixed. But then you could nail something in, and it's even more fixed. Screw something in, you know, glue it and screw it. Now we're really getting fixed. I guess you could cement it together. I mean, there's all kind of elements of getting something fixed. But it's something that'll be stable and sturdy. You wouldn't want to stand on a chair that wasn't established. You want to stand on a chair that's firm and stable. If you're going to stand, we're getting ready for Under the Big Top, and Joey Clark was here, and he and I were putting up all the big plastic stuff that made the, you know, all the things on the side, the big colors of plastic that were swooping down. And Joey was on a ladder, and he was all the way up to the very top up there on that ladder. And, you know, he, what do you call what he does? He does mudding. There might be a great name for that. Huh? Yeah, but he muds the sheetrock and whatever. It's back, whatever it is. He does a good job with it. But anyway, so he's used to being up on ladders. But seeing him up on that ladder and it would kind of jump around at the bottom, that ladder wasn't that fixed. And so, you know, I would hold on to the ladder. I don't know what good that was doing. If he fell, he's going to fall on me when we were going to both be in trouble. But he didn't know it, but I was going to jump right out, you know, out of the way right before he hit me. But anyway, if you're going to climb up here, if you're going to change the bulbs out in this fixture, you want to be standing on something that's fixed and established. Well, if you're that concerned that you be fixed physically, how much more concerned should you be to be fixed spiritually? You don't want to be on a shaky ladder spiritually. You don't want to be on a shaky foundation spiritually, do you? Because, I mean, if there's anywhere we need to be fixed, it's spiritually, any area. Now, he who speaks in an unknown tongue establishes himself, stabilizes himself, fixes himself, makes himself firm. Now, I talked about this several weeks ago when I received the offering, and I talked about how life is, we tend to view life like it's a landscape. We look out, you know, for instance, I look out my back window all the time. I'm in the kitchen. Look out my back window and I see, you know, there's the furniture that's out on our back patio. And then beyond that, we have some really big trees, and I'm looking into the trees, and I'm looking past that at a whole, you know, kind of little grove of trees. And, you know, there's certain things out there in that landscape. And it's funny, but then when I come back the next day, you know, I may go to bed and get up the next morning and I go in the kitchen, and there those things are, the same trees I was looking at the night before. There they are. So that's a landscape. But now really life isn't so much a landscape as it is a seascape. And, you know, when you're out on the water and there's nothing but water in every direction, I remember the first cruise Matt and I went on, we spent most of the cruise out on our balcony deck because we wanted to be alone. You know, we didn't want to be with all the strangers that we didn't know. So we were the only people we knew on the ship, so we didn't want to be with everybody else. So there we are on our deck, you know. And we spent most of the time on that deck reading. And you'd look up and because I guess we were passing near sea lanes or whatever, and you'd see a ship way off in the distance. And then I'd read a little longer and I'd look and that ship would be over here. It was changing. There was nothing stable. And you'd see, you know, on the sea, the sea will come up and the sea will go down and there'll be, you know, bigger swells and smaller swells. Sometimes there's a lot of white caps out there and sometimes it's pretty smooth. You know, it changes. Whereas the trees in my yard, they don't move around too much. But the seascape, it changes, you know. Landscapes change some, but much slower than what a seascape does. And life really is more like a seascape. But it's a little bit frightening when you think that life is a seascape and here we are trying to live, you know, our lives and be stable in a place that's, I mean, do you ever feel that? Am I the only person that ever experiences the, you know, in our staff meeting yesterday, it's just a funny thing on the side, our staff meeting came in the staff meeting and Nate, when we would talk to Nate would turn his body like this because Nate had been on the bungee run on Sunday. And it had made his neck really sore. I've talked to several people who did the bungee run, and their necks were really sore. Have any of y'all went on the bungee? None of y'all had the, you know, audacity to do. Were any of y'all sore? Yeah. Okay. The other fruitcakes that did the bungee run like me, our necks are sore. My kids, their necks are sore. So Nate's like that. But Claire, she was really sore. And we said, well, Claire, did you do the bungee run? Claire said, no, I didn't do the bungee run. But you know what Claire did? Claire sat between the two lanes at the back the whole time the bungee run, you know, most of the time the bungee run was open, so people are going up. So she was doing like this for about 2 hours on that bungee run, you know, everybody. Well, she was really sore from that. You wouldn't think that. You know, probably us, we don't realize how sore life has made us. Because maybe we're not being jerked like we were when we were doing the bungee run, but just being like this, you know, it can make you sore. She was sore. She was more sore than I was. She was sore all over, and she never even did the run from all the... Well, that's how life will do you. And you need a place. It would have been a lot easier on her if she could have been fixed, set, established, firm, and then everything else moving, but her staying still. She wouldn't have been sore. Well, for us in our lives, if we can be firmly established, if we can be fixed and set, then we're going to be less likely to be sore, or we're going to be less likely to lose our footing. Now, we're talking about being spiritually established. Now, what would the hope, how do we have a hope of being established? Well, the scripture says in Hebrews, it says that Jesus, that he gives us hope that he will in fact be an anchor for us. And so there is the idea that we can be anchored in Christ. That in him is, the scripture actually says, we have in Christ an anchor, both sure and steadfast. Now he is an anchor for us, but what happens as we pray in tongues, as we speak in these languages of the Spirit, it's like we're letting down our anchor. And we're letting it down and latching hold of a big immovable rock because we're in a seascape. But if you put down your anchor in the midst of the seascape and you latch hold of a big immovable rock, then you won't be drifting. And the scripture talks about being tossed to and fro. In fact, we're going to read that down here in just a minute about being tossed to and fro. You won't be as like, you know, to be just tossed and moved off course and just carried about wherever the wind may go. You can be, not to say life isn't ever going to be rocky, but you can be fixed in the midst of things that are tumultuous. You can be fixed. And I tell you, it is possible even in the midst of turmoil to be fixed. So if you're feeling like there's turmoil or you are seeing turmoil in life, it might be, you know, like Mike stepped into this new job. It might be there's turmoil in that business. It might be there's turmoil in, you know, your neighborhood, in your school, in your family, and wherever you are, there might be turmoil, but you can be fixed in the midst of turmoil, and praying in tongues will help you to be fixed. Now, that's not all there is, but it is certainly a part of just, you can see it as you pray in the Spirit that you're just driving you're letting your anchor down deep and grabbing hold of that firm rock that we have in Christ Jesus. You're anchoring yourself to Him. Now, it says in Isaiah 28:11, the scripture says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue." Now, this is Isaiah prophesying about what he saw in the future, and he's trying to describe, because in the day of Isaiah, they didn't have speaking in tongues. Under the old covenant, no one spoke in other tongues because God didn't live in them. Therefore, you know, he didn't enable them by his Spirit. He couldn't enable them to speak in tongues. But it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, He will speak to this people to whom He said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.'" Now, in talking and saying this, He was looking with the stammering lips and this other tongue. He was seeing in the future that God's people would have at their disposal something more than what He had. And it was really the ability to speak in tongues. And he said this speaking in tongues, he saw, you know, the Lord revealed to him that this thing that would happen, this ability that God's people would have, would cause the weary to rest, and it would be a refreshing for people. Now, you take that and you apply it to the idea that as we speak in tongues, we're established. Here's something. In order for you to stay steady, you got to be strong. For you to stay steady and to stay fixed, there has to be strength in your life spiritually. And one thing that happens as you pray in other tongues, it enables you to be established. It strengthens you. And it fixes you. And you might have been weakening and wobbling and about to let go and about to turn the wrong way and walk, you know, drift away. Or you might be about to break down or to give up or to give in. Y'all ever been tempted to do any of that? You know, it might be you're dealing with a situation where you're standing in faith and you've been fixed in faith, but now it's kind of like you're being challenged to the point you're about to break. Maybe it's resisting temptation. Well, one way you can be established and fixed in righteousness as you, of course, meditate on scriptures, but something that you can do is to pray in other tongues, and that spiritually will fix you and establish you. So he said this is a refreshing. The Spirit of God through Isaiah said this will be a refreshing, and it will cause you to rest. It'll give the weary rest. So as you're weakening at times when you're being challenged, as you pray in the Spirit, strength will come and it will establish you, help you to stay firm and steadfast and it's not just I tell you where the give up start. I tell you where the weakening starts in your life. I tell you where the weariness starts is in your thinking. You start thinking weary thoughts. You start thinking, any of you ever, you know, run a long distance? I know Neil's a long distance runner. Any of y'all ever been runners? And any of y'all thinking about being runners? Yeah, you ever? Right. Well, the interesting thing about running, particularly long distance running, is this. It has really very little to do with your legs. It has everything to do with your mind, because it's really, you have to get to the point where you don't let your mind talk you out of quitting. That's the thing, because your mind will tell you, you see that tree up there? When you pass that tree, you should stop. Like you bargain with yourself. Your mind bargains with you the whole time. And you have to move past that thing. Well, it's the same way spiritually. Why don't you stand until Friday, but if you don't have a breakthrough by Friday, why don't you give up? You know, if you can't, and these thoughts that are coming, if you're not going to give up right now, well, how about tonight? How about tomorrow? and your mind, these thoughts will come on you. You might as well give up. You've stood long enough. You've been established long enough. You've resisted long enough. Just go ahead and give in this one time. Just go ahead and quit this once. You can repent later. But at times like that, what's happening is you're establishment is being challenged, and you're being, really the enemy's trying to pull you off and toss you about. And at a time like that, when those thoughts come, you can pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues, and that will help. Really, energy will come up. Literally, spiritual energy will be released and come up within you and help strengthen you and say, no, why would I give up? You're releasing in that supernatural spiritual energy that will help fix you and keep you really on track. And really, it'll come to you as peace, and peace will come on you and settle you down. In fact, the scripture when it's talking about peace is Philippians, in one translation, it talks about having your mind fixed on him, and peace will come up from within you. That it's really spirit. Peace is really a spiritual energy that comes on you. It's really the power of God that comes on you and settles you down, and it'll come up within you. That peace will come in you, and it'll fix you and stabilize you. Now, one thing that I've experienced and seen, it goes really with this, is as you pray in other tongues and really as you focus in, not just mindlessly praying in tongues, even though our minds are unfruitful as we pray in tongues, we can still participate by putting our mind on the Lord, putting our mind on the Word as we pray in tongues, thinking about, really spiritual things, so to speak, as we pray in tongues, focus in on how we're praying, what we're praying. As we do that, as I've done that, really what happens is the circumstances will somehow begin to seem less formidable. What was Mount Everest will now become the Smoky Mountains, will become the Rocky Mountains, then the Smoky Mountains, then it'll get down to the, Ozarks, until you just stay with it and it'll be a little anthill. What was Mount Everest? It'll be an anthill, and then you'll stomp that in the ground and laugh. You'll go through a little process like that in your thinking. I don't mean the circumstances changed. I mean you change. And really, you changing is the big deal. When you change, your circumstances will change. They respond. But that'll happen, and answers will come into view, and your thoughts of failure will just almost seem laughable. You'll start thinking about, I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. Everything I put my hand to prospers. You'll start, those thoughts, and you're praying in tongues, and that energy will come up within you. And really what happens is victory itself rises up in you. And I'm going to tell you, victory is a real thing. It is a real power. There's a power of victory that'll come up within you. It's a spiritual force. Victory is a force that is within us. And, I'll just say this. Sometimes at a meeting like what we had with Ed Dufresne that Wednesday night when things were kind of a little bit loose there, sometimes things are happening and you can't really say this is what was happening and that and this and that, and then let me explain this to you and why this guy was doing this or why the power of God was reacting on that, this person was reacting to the power of God like that. Sometimes, a lot of times, when the power of God comes on people, it's really a victory that comes on people. And a lot of times people will respond by maybe leaping or shouting, or maybe by, I've seen you do that a bunch of times, Mike. It just seems like just out of nowhere, and it's like something comes on you. It's the force of victory. And I've known you, you've been in the church for 11 years, and at certain times it'll come on you, and you'll go to jumping and shouting. You know what I'm talking about. It's victory coming up within you. It's not because the circumstances changed and you're like, hallelujah, hooray for Jesus. It's not that. It's a force coming up within you because nothing in the natural changed. And in a time like that, that's why a service like that can be really take a long time to really see the effects of something like that, because victory will come up in somebody, and by that force, they'll respond to that force of faith. That victorious spirit of faith will rise up in them, and they'll do something, they'll respond, they'll shout. That's what Cynthia does. Cynthia goes to shouting, and that little woman can shout. You're like, what happened to that woman that just smiles? She can smile, and she can shout, and she can wash dishes. I know all that about her. So, you know, it'll come up in somebody. But it'll in some people, it might be they break out weeping. Well, just because they're weeping doesn't mean that their heart's breaking and they're sad. Sometimes they're weeping. It's coming out of a response to a victory coming up in them, and it's like something broke. Or it might be laughter. It might just be, you know, that they get slap happy. All of that is not so much that people are just putting on, or so much that people are just having a good time. It's not even about having a good time. It's really about the force, a spiritual force being released in your life. It's really what's going on. And, you know, I didn't see it, but that Matt was up here dancing around, you know. I've seen him do that in different services. I'd be sitting there, and next thing I know, Matt's dancing across the front. And I'm like, what are you doing? But it's something, it's just a victory that rises up. Isn't that what? It's just like something, it's God. It's spiritual energy. It's God himself, a spirit of victory. The one who is victorious lives within us, and every now and then his victory just pops out on us. And things happen, and that's why it's not so easy always to stand up after that and say, well, tonight this is what was happening, because really God is working by his spirit, and we don't always have complete understanding or complete explanation for it. But I do know this, it's real, and God's energy is real. His power is real, just like if somebody receives his power through the laying on of hands. But that's not the only way God's power is released in our lives. Sometimes there's a real tangible power that comes in you, and, you know, comes on you in all kinds of, like Mike jumping up and down. So, I mean, he can really leap. He leaps up off the floor real high. And Matt might be dancing, and some people do other things. We won't get into it. But anyway, whatever it is, it's victory coming up. That's not in my notes, but I just see that. That's a strengthening and an establishing. You should be more established. You know, and that's the thing about a service like that. If you leave that service and the next day you're no different, then I really questioned it. Was that God or was that you? You know, if there's nothing in you, you know, there should be a strength in you. Maybe you were weak. Maybe you didn't know you need to be. Maybe, you know, all of us could be more established. All of us could be walk more in victory. But if there's no change in you, I don't mean change in your circumstances. I'm talking about change in you. That's what really is going on, a change in you. Now, Ephesians 4, I quoted this a moment ago, Ephesians 4 and verse 14. In fact, why don't you turn over there, because I'm going to read some other scriptures from Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 14, I'm just going to read this one. It says that we should no longer be children. And we're talking about speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. Why would I want to do that? I get asked that, you know, pretty often. People come to our church, and sometime or another they hear somebody speak in tongues or hear somebody talk about it or whatever, and they go, you know, why? Why do people want to speak in tongues? What's that about? And I'm trying to show you that there are reasons, and very good reasons. And one of the reasons is that it edifies you. And in this case, that word edify we're talking about, it means establish, that it establishes you. So Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Well, if you're tossed to and fro, you're not established. Carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, it's interesting he uses the word children. I have four kids, and the one thing that, you know, I have noticed is as my kids have grown, I have kind of an older set and a younger set. Well, my older kids, over time, you know, when the boys were younger, the girls would sometimes tell them things that weren't true and get the boys to believe it. Taryn, do you ever do that to your little sister? You kind of tell them something and just kind of fooling them. You know, I'm sure that your kids do it to me, or just fooling them. And you're kind of taking them in. And the older kids find that really funny if they can pull one over on the little kid. You know, I'll tell them something. It's not really true, but they'll go along with it. And then you'll tell them something. Then they'll tell them something else. And they'll just get them all mixed up. Little kids don't know what's going on. Mommy, Maddie Sue told me so-and-so. Is that true? And they're just grappling with it. They're all kind of, they're shaken. I thought it was this way, but then she told me this, and she seemed so sure about it. You know, which one is it? Well, somebody who's established is not going to be taken in. Somebody who's established, fixed, firm, they're not going to be so easily misled. They're not going to be easily deceived. They're not going to be easily, you know, dissuaded from something. They're not going to be snookered, you know. They're going to be fixed. Now, 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. It's talking about in the last days. They'll grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Now, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's warning him that people in the world, the evil one will work through people to deceive others. And not only do people come to deceive you, but there are people who themselves are deceived. And when they're deceived, they come to you not with the purpose of deceiving you. They think they're setting you straight. They think that what they have that they're offering you is the truth. But in reality, it's not the truth. But they believe it because they're deceived. And Paul warned Timothy that there'll become people that are deceived, and they are deceiving others. Now you be aware. He said, there are evil men and they're imposters, and they're going to get worse and worse. This is going to get worse and worse. Now he wrote this 2,000 years ago, and it was getting worse then. Let me ask you this. How bad is it now? You think it's worse now than it was 2,000 years ago? It's been getting worse for 2,000 years. It's worse now than it's ever been. People are deceived, and people are being deceived. So someone can come to you, and they can on purpose deceive you, and that happens. The enemy certainly uses people to do that. And then, you know, people like you and me, I don't know about you, but I tend to be a very trusting person. You know, I would say, you know, one problem that Matt and I have had in ministry is that we trust people. We've had to learn to be a little more discerning because we're so apt to trust people. Some people just by nature are a little bit leery. And sometimes that does you good. might cause you a problem when it comes to believing the word or trusting God, but you know, it can help you when dealing with people. You have to learn, trust God and check people out. But then even, like I said, there's people that on purpose are deceiving you, but then there's people that will just deceive you because they themselves are so deceived. And they can, you know, they can get you off course. If you aren't firm and fixed and established, then you are real apt to be, you know, you're a candidate to be tossed to and fro. And carried, it's interesting, the words Paul used, he said, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Well, today was a pretty windy day at times. Matt and I were meeting about something, and we're talking, and while we're meeting, all of a sudden, by the window where we were meeting, all of a sudden, whoosh, all these leaves blew by. It was like a big gust of wind came, and you know what? It looked like it was snowing leaves. Y'all ever see it when it looks like it's snowing leaves? Sometimes that's the closest thing we get to snow here for years, but it looked like it was snowing leaves. But you know, we could be like those leaves that are falling off the trees. Those trees used to be fixed. Those leaves used to be fixed and firm and established on those trees. But now those connections have weakened and the wind is blowing and whoosh, and they're being tossed to and fro. And the leaves, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the leaves that now are out, when the wind blows, they don't just stay on the ground where they fell. They'll be blown over here. They'll be blown over there. And that's how people are spiritually. Many Christians are like those leaves that are blown about. When the winds of doctrine come by, it just blows them. Well, this sounds good. I'll blow over here. Oh, this sounds good. I'll be carried over here. Oh, this. Oh, yeah, he must be right because he used scriptures, so it must be. Oh, yeah, well, she, you know, she's really good friends with the big hooies, and so she's got to be right. And shoo. Well, I know that he's right because he spends so much time in prayer, and when he speaks, it just sounds so official, so, you know. Oh, well, they've written this huge stack of books. They must know what they're talking about. And you just get hooey, you know, from place to place. Well, they've been my friend for a long time, and I know they would never lead me astray. Well, maybe they wouldn't purposefully lead you astray, but maybe they've been led astray. And if you're not established and firm and fixed, you can just be blown. Now, that's scary. I don't know about you, but I find that just a little bit scary. Now, I don't mean I stay up every night and wring my hands, but I mean, I look at that and I have a healthy respect for the fact that any person can be deceived. There's none among us here tonight that couldn't be deceived. And there's none among us here tonight that couldn't be deceiving others, not even knowing it. Now, what I'm really grateful for is that I have the Word, and it is truth. But you know, I don't know about you, but I know people, I know two ministers that we could invite in here and have a seminar. And one of them could stand on this side and one on that side, and they could teach from the same verses and be so authoritative that it would just make your, you know, mind melt. Both of them. Give you example after example, experience after experience, give you the Greek words, give you, you know, everything that you could ever hope to find from it. And they can interpret the same scripture in entirely opposite ways. Now what do I do? Because now they're using the Word. Thank God that the teacher, the truth-giving spirit, lives within us. And his purpose for being in there is to lead us and to guide us into all the truth. So as we pray in other tongues, we're really, what we're doing is we're praying Holy Spirit languages. We're praying Holy Spirit words. We're really releasing that truth-giving power into our lives. And it will bring us to a point of being fixed and stable and established. If you've been a person and you know, all of us have to some degree or another been a little wishy-washy. But some people just are really wishy-washy. If you see a pattern in your life of being kind of flaky, wishy-washy, kind of over here and all involved in this, and then next year you're involved in this, and 3 years later you're carrying this torch. If you kind of look back in your life and see that's how you've been, you need to spend some time praying in other tongues. Devote some time in order to get established. It'll release an establishing within you. Really, the Holy Spirit will just kind of start sorting through as you, what I see it as is as you pray in the Spirit, he starts processing through a lot of stuff in you that's been pushed into you and sorting through and showing you this is truth and this isn't. And it may come as you pray in the Spirit, it may come later, but things will come up in your mind and start straightening your mind out. Now, you got to know the Word. You can't just pray in tongues and that's going to take care of it. You have to know the Word. Without the Word is the truth. But like I said, there's different people can interpret the Word in different ways. So, but without the Word, you're a prey for easy prey for deception. But when you have the Holy Spirit within you, his power, truth-giving power, rise up within you. Now, so let me close that by saying, he who speaks in an unknown tongue establishes himself, makes firm, stable, and fixed himself. Okay. Now, number five. Because we're going to finish it tonight, so I've got to hurry through here. Number five, he that speaks in an unknown tongue grows himself. One meaning of the word edify is the word grow. He who speaks in an unknown tongue grows himself. Speaking in other tongues or praying in the Spirit, however you want to say it, it plays a role in the process of spiritual growth and maturity. Now, we were just talking about no longer being children. Now, let's read verses 14 and 15 in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I'll read. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried I misspelled the word fro here. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So what Paul's saying here is, don't be a child, but grow up. Well, one thing that speaking in tongues will do, it edifies you, it grows you. One thing that speaking in tongues, it has something to do with the process of spiritual growth. And so, you know, this really goes right along with being established. As you speak in tongues, I see it like this, you know. Sometimes when kids are don't seem to be developing properly, particularly if they're not getting tall according to the growth charts, how other kids are, doctors can and will sometimes give children injections of human growth hormone. I don't know if any of y'all had that. Neil, did you have that? You didn't need it, Neil. Oh, you were a preemie. But, you know, maybe if they're small for their size, you know, real small or something, they'll give them a little boost because you naturally, your body produces a human growth hormone that causes your body to grow. Well, normally, you know, your DNA is programmed to release that at certain times. But maybe if you're not growing along, they've isolated that hormone now and they can give it to you in injections. Well, there actually is a spiritual growth hormone. And you know, those of you who went through the topical life class on spiritology where Jim Caseman taught, and he taught about how our spirits have, you remember, were anybody in those classes? We did videos. Yeah, there we go. We got several people. And he talks about how your spirit has organs. Just, you know, your flesh is like a replica of your spirit. The Bible talks about the hand of the spirit and talks about all kinds of parts. Well, within your body, there is the real you, the spirit. And just like your body has a human growth hormone, your spirit has a spirit growth hormone. Now, this is not in the scripture, and it's not going to make one bit of difference one way or another. I'm using this as an illustration. Spirit growth hormone. Imagine then, really, it is like as you pray in tongues, it is releasing within you that spiritual growth hormone, spirit growth hormone. So you're growing spiritually. It in itself alone is not all that's required for you to grow, but it is the catalyst. Just like a human growth hormone doesn't cause you to grow, you have to have food. You have to have, you know, you have to have fuel for that, and we have to have food. We have to have the fuel from the Word. Your Word, you know, it is the bread of life, so we have to have that. But you can, you know, physically eat food. If you don't have that human growth hormone, you're not necessarily going to, those things work together, in other words. The human growth hormone, those hormones in our bodies, those other chemicals in our body work together with the food that we eat to cause growth. Well, in the same way, we're releasing, as we pray in other tongues, we're releasing this growth hormone within us and causing making that available that we can grow as we read the Word and as we engage in other things. Anybody ever grown a muscle? I'm looking around for anybody. It looks like they've grown a muscle recently. Eddie, I know you grew a muscle one time until you had that little pain in your chest and gave it up. He was lifting one time and the bar fell back on him and he was trapped until Wesley came in and got the bar off of him or something like that. Anyway, that human growth hormone is involved in building muscle, but, you know, when you're building muscle, really, there are places in the scripture that you compare praying in tongues to really spiritual weightlifting. You're working out your spiritual muscles as you pray in tongues. So, just wanted to show you that because it goes right along with being established. Jude 1:20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." You're building yourself up as you're praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm doing, you know, the chest press here. So you're building yourself up. I realize this makes no sense. You're lifting and building yourself up on your most holy faith as you pray in the Holy Spirit. And speaking in tongues will help you grow up in your faith. It does. Faith doesn't come by speaking in tongues. Faith comes by hearing the Word. But supernatural power is released as we pray, and it strengthens your faith and it promotes spiritual growth. And I'm going to tell you, one sign in your life of spiritual growth or spiritual maturity, that you're no longer a child spiritually, one sign of that is when you can rely on God, trust in Him for yourself, and not have to lean on the faith of other people. When, you know, that's a place, and when you see I can pray for myself and stand on the word and receive from God myself, that's a sign in your life that you're maturing spiritually. And Jude said we would build up ourselves on our most holy faith as we prayed in the Holy Spirit. You see how that works? That faith will, that's a sign. As you grow in the faith and grow in your ability to trust God, that's a sign of growth. He that speaks in an unknown tongue grows himself. Now we have two more that are sort of similar. Number six is, he that speaks in an unknown tongue prospers himself. That word edify also means prospers. Y'all remember over in Psalm 1:3, it goes down from Psalm 1:1 and goes down and ends up in this phrase. And whatever, King James says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Y'all ever read that little line in Psalm 1? Psalm 1's awesome scriptures. You should probably go ahead and just memorize the first part of Psalm 1 because it's just outstanding scriptures for living. But it says, whatever he does shall prosper. Now, that doesn't mean that whatever you do in life, you can't just isolate that out and say, whatever I choose to do, it's going to prosper. I'm going to sell drugs and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to prosper in that, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go down and steal another man's wife and we're going to have a family and prosper. You know, it doesn't mean just whatever you want to do. You know, you have to interpret the Bible, the scriptures, in light of the other scriptures. Really, whatever you do that's in line with God's leading, whatever you do that's in line with His plan for you, that will prosper. There's prosperity in following God's plans. There's prosperity in fulfilling God's divine purpose for you. There's prosperity for you in following the steps that He's ordered for you. Now, whatever you do shall prosper. This word, as you pray in other tongues, you'll prosper. It prospers you. Well, one way that happens and comes into being in your life is, as you pray in the Spirit, you are much more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in the Psalms that one thing that He does in our lives is He teaches us to profit. Well, as you know, how does that come in our lives? It comes by the leading of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. And so He teaches us. He leads us by His Spirit. And as we follow that leading, we will begin to flourish in our lives. We will begin to prosper in our lives. We will find our way towards His plan and His purpose and begin to prosper. I mean, I could give example after example of people that have come to our church and they learned to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and they made it a practice to pray in tongues. It's just a discipline in their lives to pray in tongues. And they have prospered as they have followed the plan of God. Really, praying in tongues makes you sensitive to His speaking. And that, I mean, that's so obvious if you ever pray in tongues, why that would be, because, you know, most of your time is spent up here, but when you pray in tongues, you are submitting this, humbling this, yielding this to what's in here. Now, if I can yield this to speak these words that I don't understand, that I don't know, that don't make sense to my head, then I can also yield this when other words come by the Spirit of God, Him speaking to me, His Spirit speaking to my spirit. When other thoughts come from within here, other words come, I can be yielded to it. I'm telling you, it's pretty difficult to hear from God when you're not used to having a flow come from your spirit. You know, it's difficult to hear from Him when there's not a flow, that you're not in that flow. It's so much easier when you're in the flow, praying in tongues. And so many times in my life, as I've prayed in tongues, things that I do understand come up too. Paul said, I'll speak with tongues, I'll pray with tongues, I'll pray in the understanding. I'll pray in the Spirit, I'll pray in the understanding. And really, it's not like I pray in tongues. Okay, I'm going to pray in tongues for 15 minutes and I just pray in tongues and that's it. No, as I pray in tongues, words come up within me. Things to pray come up within me. English words come. All kinds of things. It might be pictures come up inside of me. It might be thoughts. It might be direction. It might be scriptures. It might be praise. All kinds of things come from within me. They come up because they're coming from within me. And that will prosper me. And it will prosper you because he knows the way to go. He knows what to do. John wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Praying in tongues really is when wisdom from within you, praying in tongues will enable wisdom that is within you, that's buried down deep within you, because the spirit of wisdom and revelation lives within you. He is within, the guy that knows everything lives in you. And as you pray in the spirit, you are releasing his power and all that he is into your life, and his wisdom will come up within you and it will prosper, bring light to your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. And then what you start doing will prosper. You'll see how to do things that you haven't seen before. All of that works together. I mean, that's just so obvious to me. Do I have to keep belaboring this? This is so obvious. Is it obvious to anybody else? It is so obvious how praying in the Spirit will prosper you. I mean, if nothing else, God's talking through my lips, through my mouth. God thoughts are coming through me. How can that not prosper me? Okay, now, number 7. He that speaks in an unknown tongue profits himself spiritually. That means to profit spiritually. We just talked about prospering you. Prospering has to do with increasing you in every area of your life, but specifically to profit yourself spiritually. Where there's profit, there's increase. Praying in the Spirit enables us to increase spiritually. Now, we've talked about, and a lot of these seem to kind of overlap, and the thoughts and, you know, points here kind of do, but I want you to look at it like this. In your life right now, you are at a certain level of flowing with God's power. All of us here. There's a certain level of God's power flowing, God's ability, God's grace flowing through us. Wouldn't you know, and you might can look back in your life at times where you were at a point where there was less power. And you can measure and say, you know, I see that. It might be the power to increase. It might be, you know, the power. At the picnic on Sunday, somebody was telling me about how they had been laying hands on people and how people had been actually getting healed. And they were so excited. Well, you know what's happening is they had increased spiritually. They've been profiting spiritually, and the power of God that flows through them is increasing. Well, that will happen. Now, praying in tongues, he that speaks in an unknown tongue profits himself spiritually, increases the flow of the Spirit through him, increases the spiritual power that flows through you. And that, it can be manifest in many ways, but one way specifically it can be manifested is through the gifts of the Spirit increasing, the operation of the gifts of the Spirit increasing in your life. And I'm just going to flat out tell you, if you pray in the Spirit on a consistent basis and as you increase praying in the Spirit, Paul said, "I pray in tongues more than you all." Well, look in the life of Paul. Did he have the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation in his life? I mean, he was preaching one day, and there was a guy sitting up on a wall or looking out a window on a ledge, a young guy, and he fell off, and he was dead. I don't know if he broke his neck or what happened, but he took a big fall, and they couldn't find a pulse. The guy's dead. Paul went back and raised him from the dead. That's a little more than most Christians I know. He had things like that happen a lot. He had a deadly snake bite him, and he shook it off in the fire and never had any effect on him. That, to me, is a good flow of spiritual power. What do you think? So he had these things that would happen to him, but, you know, he had the power of God was flowing through him. He said, "I pray in tongues more than you all." This is what I was going to say. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, And as you, you know, give yourself to that, there will be an increase of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Now, if you're interested in ministering to other people, if you're interested in giving life to people, if you're interested in laying hands on the sick and see them recover, if you're interested in casting out the devil, if you're interested in ministering in any way to other people, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings flowing through you, you're interested in that? The number one piece of advice that I can give you is pray in tongues more. Pray in tongues more. Because as you pray in the Spirit, it profits you spiritually. And I'll give you a scripture that has to do with this and ties this in with profiting spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul describes the operations of the gifts of the Spirit, the different ways that they operate, he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, referring to the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, there's profit. As you pray in tongues, it will enable you to flow with the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested, and it'll profit you and it'll profit other people. It's the profit of everybody. Everybody will be profited by it. Really, did you know that when I pray in the Spirit, it profits you? It certainly profits me, but you reap from it too. Because then the gifts of the Spirit really don't flow in my life for me. They flow in my life for you. The gifts of the Spirit flow in your life, not so much for you, but for other people. That's really what they're given for. They will profit you, but they're not just for you. There is that element that it'll help you, because they profit everybody, but they'll profit other people. Really, words of wisdom will work more for you to help somebody else than they will for you to win the lottery. I don't know many times that's really happened, but it really does work to help other people. So you see that praying in the Spirit, it makes you sensitive somehow or another. And it goes back to the best way I can describe it is as we pray in the Spirit, it's not some magical thing that happens. It's just really the flow of God's Spirit coming out through us. We are releasing God's power, His Spirit, into this realm as we speak in other tongues, because we're speaking supernatural words. And it's just, every time you pray in tongues, it is supernatural. Now, I'm going to close with this, just to tell you, it is supernatural, just so you know. And I just challenge you to do this. Maybe you've already done it. But because I've been speaking in the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking in tongues all my life, I've never really kind of questioned it. But having a discussion with my kids the other day about praying in tongues and all. And so we decided that what we would do is we were going to make up tongues. Have you ever done this? Maybe you've done it. We were going to make up tongues to see if we could manufacture it. Because, you know, people accuse people that speak in tongues. They say, well, you're just making that up. So I decided to see if I could just make it up. So I, on purpose, wouldn't let words come up from here. I'm going to make them up in my head. And so I did. So I'm going to make them up. And I just challenge you to do this. Maybe you could do it right now. And so I'm going to think up some words. So what I got to do is I got to think up words. They can't be any language I know. And I'm going to say them. And just as fast as I can to make a language out of it. And so all I could do was do zinga, zanga, zung. And this is what I found from, because we all tested each other. What you tend to do is you either get a certain consonant sound going or a certain vowel sound, and that's all you can do. Zinga, zanga, zing. You know, I could do that. But I couldn't make a language. I tried. We tried a long time to try to make a language out of our head, and we couldn't do it. And you're just sitting there going, why did you do this? Because I just wanted, you know, it was an exercise so that we could all see. This is supernatural. Because just in a heartbeat, all of us could right off into tongues and just speak something that sounded, you know, incredible, like this amazing language. Or we could make up the syllables and it was like, cuck-a-mamie. I mean, and that tends to be what you do. You tend to make up something you've heard before. Moo goo guy pan, you know. And if people do it, they're doing something, You know, early on in the church, we had a minister come in and he would, you know, do a fake tongue thing and referring to kind of making a joke about something. It wasn't disrespectful, but he would say, hikimoshunda. And so that just became something we would all say, hikimoshunda. Now I can say that, but I'm not making that up. I'm just repeating what I heard somebody else say. But for me, just to make up some language I've never heard before and make syllables and make words and make sentences, I can't do it. Now, if you can do it, I want you to come and tell me because I would be very interested in that. I don't think we can do it. There's not, bing, bong, bong. You just tend to get caught up on one syllable, bing, bong, 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 you know. Now, some people, that's how their prayer language sounds. But when you really got a free flow going, you just say, oh, I mean, it just, you're just shocked. You're like, this is coming out of me. Now, I said all that to tell you, praying in tongues is supernatural. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty smart, but I can't do it. I can't make it up. And you're smarter than me, and you can't either. So, just that and that alone, we're releasing God to speak through us. How amazing is that? Now, why wouldn't you want to do that? It's available to every believer. The only qualification is to be in Christ. The only thing you have to do to be in Christ is just receive Jesus as your Savior. And then say, hey, Jesus, you sacrificed yourself for me, and you said you have a gift, the Holy Spirit. Do me. Praise God. Y'all stand. This concludes our series on dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. Praying in the Spirit will help you deal with you, help you grow, help you profit spiritually, to help you prosper, help you be established. That's one of the biggest problems people have with themselves is they're never established. Help you be established. It'll help you be organized in every way. It'll help you be built. It'll build you. And then there's another one, number two, that do what? Kindle. Yeah. Instead of being cold, chilly spiritually, you know, getting the spiritual chills, you be hot, hot, hot. Praise God. So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that you live in us and you speak through us. You use our tongues, our lips. You use our teeth. You use our vocal cords. You use the air that we breathe. But you are the one who gives us these words. And they are supernatural. And as these words flow from within us, they bring the very life of God from within us and release the life of God into our world, into our circumstances, into our thinking, into everything around us, into our minds, which is really where we need it most. And Father, we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit and the gift of the baptism with the Holy Spirit.